serial entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome to Startup Magazine's podcast series, The Serial Entrepreneur. In today's episode, I will be chatting to Lottie White, who co-founded the startup MyoMaster with her husband, Joe Gray, who, being a professional rugby player, was a keen sportsman. And after developing Achilles tendonitis, he created his own massage gun, which is fair to say was a huge success with his teammate. So from this, MyoMaster was born and is now on a mission to help everyone who loves working out achieve their full potential and recover properly. Lottie and Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. How are you guys and how are things?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Things are exciting. A lot going on.
Busy.
Really busy. I'm sure like a lot of other people listening to this podcast, busy pivoting and trying to adjust to the new kind of scenario and environment that we find ourselves in. But yeah, it's challenging but good kind of 6 or 7 weeks.
Really enjoyable.
Amazing. Well, it's good to hear some positive kind of news coming out of this whole pandemic time. But before we kind of get onto that conversation, I thought maybe we could start at the beginning and you guys could just give a brief overview and tell us in a bit more depth about what MyoMaster does and how it was born.
Yeah. So MyoMaster is the home of sports recovery. Essentially, we create product and knowledge and advice for people who are looking to recover their body. And really our mission is to make recovery the third dimension. So there's lots of information out there about how you should train your body if you're looking to get fit, whatever your sports and whatever your passion. There's loads of information out there about nutrition, diet plans you should follow, what you should eat. But what we think is really missing is the education about how you should look after your body after you've done the training piece. And actually, that's where the real difference happens. So your efforts from training actually pay off in your recovery time. And there's two real benefits of taking your recovery seriously. One is it actually improves your performance if you do it properly. And the second one, obviously, is that it helps you to avoid injury. And that holds a lot of people back in trying to achieve their kind of sporting and fitness goals. So we create, yeah, products and knowledge that help people to recover properly and efficiently.
How it was born, obviously, you touched there briefly, but being a professional sportsman, I'm going to start my 15th season playing professional rugby in September. And over that period, it's gone from cool downs on the corner of the pitch for 5 minutes at the beginning to now having sports masseuses, sports therapists, all the latest equipment you could ever imagine, cryotherapies, ice baths, everything. And we've seen throughout that 15 years, loads come and go. And I figured out what I like and what I think works in comparison to other things. And I basically had an issue with Achilles tendonitis, like you said. I am also a trained carpenter, so I was put to work by Lottie in the kitchen. And rather than do the work, I thought I'd play around with one of my tools, dismantled it, welded an end on like a stool leg, and created this really quick and effective massager. Took it to training, tried it on my Achilles, which was giving me so much jip, like killing me every day running, and it pretty much instantly alleviated the pain. I could run with nothing, no issues whatsoever. So I was using it in the changing room, and you can imagine it's bright yellow, really loud, sounds like a drill going off, and the lads are destroying me. 60 lads in the changing room. Grazer, what are you doing? I'm like, lads, don't get stuck into me, try it first. No one would try it, no one would come near it. So I went to get strapped, came back in, and I could hear it about a mile away in the distance. And they're all using it on each other, using it on lower backs, using it on their quads, and they couldn't believe what he was doing. So straight away, one of the England players, Kyle Sinclair, pulled out his wallet, got some cash out and said, Graze, I'm taking it home. I need it in my life. So I gave him that one, stopped at B&Q on the way home, bought another drill, went home, made another, went in. Within the end of the week, I'd had about 8 orders of my new massager. And that's where Lottie's brains came on board, because in my head, I was like, buy loads of drills, spend evenings building them. And Lottie came on board saying, surely there's a space out there for people who want top quality equipment, but for the masses. And you don't just want to be a one product person. Like, let's see what else we can bring to market and show to everybody. So that's how MyoMaster was born, that initial idea. And then the brains of the business, which is Lottie, came aboard.
Amazing. Obviously, Joe, you kind of touched on this before, but what were both your backgrounds in before MyoMaster? Obviously, you said you're a professional rugby player, but tell me a little bit about both you guys.
As I said, starting my 15th season professional rugby, I started at Northampton Saints, moved to Harlequins, which was awesome. And then I moved to Saracens and I've actually came back to Harlequins. So I came out of college into professional rugby. I'd always wanted to do it and feel extremely lucky to have had a career within it. Where rugby differs to probably some other sports is throughout your whole career, you know that it's not going to set you up forever. It's going to be an amazing job, but you need to go into the real world once you finish. So I've always had my head on thinking about different things I can do. I coach, I got trained up as a carpenter, which is why I'm quite hands-on at building things. And I've always been thinking to the future, and Maya Master was born just over 2 years ago. And this is an amazing thought to go into once I do actually finish.
Yeah. I guess our backgrounds are quite complementary, which is lucky. My background really is in marketing and PR. So I worked for my kind of first grad job out of university was working for a big PR agency, and I kind of worked my way up to sit alongside the CEO to help grow that business and then sell it. And along the way, we acquired other businesses and I learned a lot of different skills. So I did everything from kind of finance and acquisitions to marketing, business development, PR. And actually that was kind of the best grounding I could possibly have for starting my own business. Because you know what it's like as an entrepreneur, you're literally getting your head stuck into 10,000 things every day. And I think the best entrepreneurs are the people who aren't necessarily the expert at anything, but like they're the little bit, kind of can touch on every different subject and can get their head into it a little bit. So that's my background. And I think they've come together quite well. Joe's really brilliant at the product. He is our customer. He knows exactly what customers need. And I'm better at kind of, I guess, the more kind of core business aspects of it.
Yeah. So both complementary, like you said.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And also, I love the fact that obviously you and your business, your husband and wife, and I know so many people say, oh, they couldn't work with their partner. How have you guys found it so far?
I think Lottie touched on it. We're actually very lucky that we do different things. So we're not on top of each other the whole time. I'm not going into the marketing side and running the business, and she's not hugely coming over into the product development side and stuff. We do obviously cross over and help each other, but ultimately we also have our own sections of the company we're trying to push on. So that helps. Otherwise, if we were both doing the exact same thing every day, I think it'd be a lot harder.
I actually think that people are wrong about saying that working with their partner they could never do, because I think some of the key things that you need to make a business fly or to having a co-founder are to really understand each other's skill sets, are to be able to communicate well together. You know, we know how to do those things because we do it every day in our lives to sustain our marriage, right? And like we know how to talk to each other, we know what pushes each other's buttons, and also there's a level of honesty that you get in a marriage or a partnership that you wouldn't get with a co-founder, right? So I think it's worked really well. And I think we've accelerated the business quicker than I would have if he was working with someone else. Totally. Because we just know each other and we can get on with it.
You feel like comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Not to say, though, that it hasn't been really challenging at times. Like, there have been times where both of us have said to each other, let's jack it in because I can't stand this with you any longer. Like, of course, there have been those days, but they're very few and far between.
But I also think them days are probably what's good for the company, because we've actually said something honest about each other's role and said that's not going to work, which obviously at the moment you don't like because you've put time to think into it. And that's actually what makes the business better, because ultimately if you're working, like you said, with another co-founder, they might not say that to you and then you go down a path which isn't correct. So
yeah,
definitely. And I guess you've touched on this slightly in your previous answer, but is it hard to keep a work and normal life balance and keep them separate, or have you guys found that quite easy?
No, I think we're in the moment of really struggling with that. The business is really new still and really young. We only really sold our first product about a year ago. The year before that, we spent doing product development and, you know, thinking about what this business was going to be. And we are, especially at the moment, at home together all the time, doing absolutely everything. We're properly still in startup mode. And we've just been sat on the floor packaging products to ship out for this morning's orders. So we don't have a balance, is the reality of it. And I think it's sort of fine when you're in sprint mode at the beginning, but there will come a point where that's not sustainable any longer. So I think we'll need to think hard about that.
Yeah, the thing is, as Lottie said as well, is we're still in the exciting mode. So we do love talking about it. We love pitching ideas at dinner table. We love actually talking about what we're going to do next week and how we're going to pivot here. And with what's been going on, like Lottie said, it's pretty full on at the moment because we're at home together the whole time and we've had a pivot and all our resources and time is going in on the business to make it work. So yeah, as Lottie said, it's something we've got to think about. I think we did have a good balance, and recently as it's kicked off,
it's not your fault, is it? It's kind of like the whole climate right now, isn't it?
Situation.
Yeah, definitely.
So back to Maya Master, let's talk about some of the products. How, obviously you spoke about your kind of massager, could you talk us through kind of maybe some of the products? I don't know how many you've got and how you came to developing them.
Yeah. So currently within the range, we've got about 6 core products and then a range of kind of accessories that go along with that. And everything that we do is built on some core principles. So every product we have is designed by a professional athlete. So along with Joe, we have a team of athletes from different sports. So from cycling, triathlon, running, strongman, a ton of different sports that come together and test and trial and input into our product. Because that's our proposition, is all about, you know, creating stuff that's meant for elite athletes, but bringing it to the everyday athlete and every person who's working out. And then the other thing really is about price point, making it really accessible. And then sitting in our range currently, we've got the massive surge guns, which are really having a moment. You know, there's a real kind of zeitgeist moment around that piece of equipment, which is great because there's a huge market out there. But on top of those, we've got some really exciting new, more innovative products like occlusion cuffs, which we've just developed and launched a couple of months ago. And that is brilliant for helping people to recover from injury.
Yeah, it's also at this current time in this climate, it basically looks a bit like a blood pressure cuff. So you strap it around your arm up high, your quad up high, and you pump a certain amount of air pressure that restricts the blood flow into your leg or your arm. So while you're training, it tricks the brain in thinking it's a much tougher session because your leg has a buildup of blood, which makes it swell all the cells. And as a result, you get extra hormone release, you get extra protein, so you get loads of stuff going on in the muscle, which actually creates a stronger muscle and a more muscle bulk. So you get better effect without the load. So at the current climate, without having weights at home, without being able to go to the gym, actually you can get equivalent effects by just occluding at home without any load, really. So it's unreal. And there's a lot you touched on for people injured, like I've used it loads because I've been injured at rugby. You can use pretty much no weight on a knee post-operation to keep your muscle bulk and your strength, which is incredible. And now it's going into obviously the current situation where there isn't weights and people are using them at home for that. So that's a really exciting product we brought out called the MyoCuff.
Which is excellent. And then another big one for us is our Myo pumps. They're compression pumps. They almost look, they're like big trousers that you zip on. They inflate.
Moon boots.
They look like big moon boots. They inflate and you zip them onto your leg and they really speed up the flow of blood around your legs. They get rid of all the existing blood that's in your legs and replace it with fresh oxygenated blood, which helps to accelerate your recovery kind of exponentially. So normally if you, someone for instance, who loves going out cycling and doing your 50 miles on a weekend or whatever it is, you're coming back home with really tired, really sore legs. That means you probably can't get up tomorrow and do another 50-mile cycle as much as you might want to. Or if you do, you're going to do it at a much slower pace because you're tired, right? So you pull on these legs for 10, 20, 30 minutes, and they help to completely re-energize your leg, completely accelerate the recovery time. So you can wake up feeling a lot fresher the next day.
And where it's really cool is it actually does what the body does naturally, but the body takes 3 to 4 days to do. This can actually do in 30-minute cycle. So you feel 3 days post that hard session the next day, which is incredible because then you get more out of your sessions, therefore your improvements increase in a shorter period.
Oh wow, it sounds really amazing. Let's talk about some of the technology that's used kind of within some of the products. For example, how did you get from a drill to a professional massage gun? Talk me through that development and that process.
Yeah, so that took a fair bit of time. So we did the standard startup, we released our drill, we got them made, manufactured, sent over. They were loud, they were a bit rugged, but they did a job and everyone loved them because they were new, they were interesting, they helped pretty much instantly with people's pains. And then obviously we got feedback, and one of the main things was the noise. It sounded like a drill. So when you were using it, it sounded like you're drilling a hole in your wall. So that was a major bit of feedback that we spent a lot of time working on with some product development teams, and we actually got the volume right down. So our newest release is our Myo Pro. It's a professional grade massager, and it has a ultra quiet motor, which is a very clever device that basically emits no noise pretty much. It's pretty much silent when you're going. So you can use it while you're next to the baby, you can use it while you're watching telly, which is incredible. But that took a lot of time to do. The battery life was another one, lasting about 45 minutes, the original. This one's got over 3 hours battery. So a lot of it's feedback that we get from our original product, and then we spend time to get our next product out at the highest level we can. So
I think it's an important point around, like, you know, people talk a lot about minimum viable products and how far should you go before you bring something to market. And like in our experience, we definitely went out there originally with a minimum viable product. And for us, that was totally the right way to do it because it enabled us to, get genuine customer feedback and to sell and to pitch and to find out who our customers were and hear from them what they wanted us to change to get us to the place that we are, which is much more of our kind of final version of our product. And I think if we hadn't have done that and we'd have waited until we could launch a final version, it wouldn't necessarily have been exactly what customers want. So for other people out there who are thinking about launching product-based businesses, I would definitely say, you know, the minimum viable product thing is a really great way of doing it and then evolving.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys were founded, did you say last year or 2018?
We were founded in 2018 and really started retailing and selling our products in 2019.
Yeah.
So your journey's kind of been like 2 years, would you say?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And so how many do you have on your team now and how has kind of the journey in the 2 years been?
Yeah, so we're a team of about 5 people now and we've got a lot of an amazing network of freelancers who are almost, you know, a genuine extension of our team who've been working with us, you know, over the course of the past year since we've really been retailing. The journey has been, it's just been really exciting and really cool. But I think a couple of things to say that in the way that we've approached it. One is that we bootstrapped the business. So we were really keen on putting our own money into this as much as we could to get it going. And I think that was important because now we've gone to raise money. One of the things we've heard consistently from investors is we love that you took the risk first. So we're willing to put money in because we've seen that you are willing. That's how
you've
invested
in
this. You are, you've got skin in the game. Exactly. And they really buy into it. The other thing was that we both are still working other jobs. So although we have full-time people on the team, Joe is still playing professional rugby, although not currently, but you know, as a full-time job and has been, and I am working part-time and doing this part-time. And it was a really unusual approach to take, which we recognize, but it's done a couple of things. It's allowed us to have more space and time to grow the business and to do all the right things and make decisions that weren't always driven by revenue. Because from a personal perspective, we had money coming in to pay our bills from other places. And I think that's allowed us to make smarter decisions for the business.
We haven't taken any money out. We don't pay ourselves yet, but we're in a position where, as Lottie said, we can spend money where we want. We can take risks. We've already, within the first year, we rebranded. Like, we went with our initial idea and I personally went around on my rugby lot and it was a big muscly man and loved the logo and everything. And then Lottie looked at it again and said, this is not right. And I was a little bit precious, but that relationship, as we've said, husband and wife, told me, spoke to some people outside of that big macho circle and it was correct thing to do. We rebranded, changed everything. And that was within the first year, which I think a lot of startups get quite invested in their initial idea and don't want to change anything. Whereas we've been quite quick to change that and move on, which has been a great success for us.
But I think that question around when to give up your job is like a really big question, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs. And for us, we just really didn't want to be under so much pressure in the first year where we were like, if this thing doesn't get to X, then we're going to have to fold because we don't have jobs and we're not going to have any money coming in. Like, we see this as a sustainable business and that's where we've continued to work. So I think that was also a kind of different and unusual way to do it, but has made it really hard. Like, we're pretty knackered and it's been a pretty tiring and exhausting journey. But I think that's the case for like pretty much every founder out there, isn't it?
To put it into context, Lottie left a full-time busy job and went part-time to be able to do several days on MyMaster as well. And now she works more than she's ever worked with a part-time job and obviously MyMaster. And then I have days off with rugby and evenings and we get back early and we work all around that. As well as obviously having our young son. So it's pretty full on, but amazing and very exciting at the same time.
Just proves obviously how dedicated you guys are and how hardworking you are. Again, you've kind of touched on this slightly, but what were some of your biggest challenges so far?
Oh, well, having just basically kissed the UPS delivery man this morning when he turned up, because it's been 3 weeks we've been waiting for some of our stock to arrive from our manufacturer, definitely cash flow / stock control.
Yeah.
Like, knowing how much stock to buy and what you can buy within your, you know, that your bank balance allows you to buy versus customer demand, planning for that, especially when you're in the early stages, you just don't know what your growth curve is going to look like. Definitely a really big challenge has been like, managing that process. So for instance, our stock was 3 weeks late. So we've had orders from customers, you know, who come on the site, who've ordered and their products are late effectively. And like, what do you do as a startup? We're basically in tier ideas last week. Like, how are we going to fulfill these orders? We're doing brilliantly, but we can't send anyone's products out. Like, what do you do? So I think that's a massive challenge. I think it's pretty universal. Unless you're somebody who's gone out and raised, you know, 2 million quid or whatever. I think that's a pretty universal challenge, managing stock flow.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show as well from that, that actually customer service goes such a long way, because we spent an afternoon ringing all these customers and explaining the issues that obviously have been delayed, and as soon as we get it, we'll send out. And we haven't had
not one
refund, not one issue. They've all been totally understanding, thought it's amazing that we took time to ring them and actually talk through the issues. And I just think that goes such a long way, actually spending an afternoon doing that, where we're worrying obviously for days about doing it. And then we had to, when it kept being said, it's going to be delivered, then it's delayed again, going to be delivered. Yeah. And we finally had to pick up the phone. But it's been, amazing, the response.
That's been a real challenge. Yeah. And then I'd say another one has been ideas control. I don't know what the right term for that is.
Yeah,
but like,
massively.
We literally have like 10,000 ideas a week from us the team about like new things that we could do, new avenues we should be pursuing, new products we should be developing, like everything. And I think one of the biggest challenges as a founder is staying focused versus knowing when to embrace a new idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, ultimately, most people who start a business have this massive, great big vision of where they want to take it. But you're so far away from that on day one. And what is your path and how do you navigate that week on week in terms of getting to that vision, making progress towards it, but also being realistic about what you can achieve and staying focused on the things that are important right now? That's just a massive challenge, I think.
Yeah, it's been a huge challenge. We initially obviously wanted to like rule the world with sports recovery, and we had so many ideas and went off on it straight away. And then actually, when you look at budget, how much you can put into advertising, you break it down into areas and fields within just sport, let alone the rest of the world and people with aches and pains, and actually hone in on one area, we realised how huge that one area is. And actually, if you can penetrate that market, then it spreads out and then you can take on new challenges as we go. So
yeah, it's about like working out which chunk you can take at a time.
100%. And then staying focused on it and not getting distracted.
Not getting excited.
Yeah,
definitely. So obviously this was, I'm guessing, to do with one of your challenges with the whole delays, but with the whole recent COVID-19 crisis, I believe that you guys have been through a lot with your company, but it's actually kind of pivoted your company and really excelled in the last few weeks. Can you tell me more about this and what's kind of happened and why and how exciting it's been?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess for the last 12 months, pretty much since we sold our first product, most of our revenue was generated at big sporting events. So we were, or trade shows. So we'd turn up with stalls at the London Marathon or Ride London, those massive sporting events, and we'd get to meet our customers face to face and we'd sell our products directly to them. And that was where we made most of our revenue pretty much for the first year. And we knew that that wasn't an exciting business proposition to an investor, right? Nobody wants to invest in, it's not particularly scalable, and nobody wants to invest in someone that just makes money through shows, but it was how we got going for the first year. And then obviously, you know, we started, I remember like the middle of March starting to get the messages through that the shows were getting cancelled, that they weren't going to be going ahead. And the two of us kind of looking at each other going, we just hired another full-time person. How the hell are we going to pay the wages and what are we going to do?
We've been getting some traction in gyms as well. So we're selling our recovery equipment into gyms. So we're getting really good feedback on that.
Decent amount of money to hire this great person who was going to drive our propositions into gyms. 3 weeks after she joined us, they all closed.
Gyms closed, all our events closed.
So we're literally sat here like, is this the end of the road for us? Like, what are we going to do? And then, you know, we had a website that existed. It was really, to be honest, for credibility, I guess, right? So people who'd see us at shows would go online, look, see. But we weren't making a huge amount of money
for
e-com.
Also, after shows, we'd obviously hand our leaflets out and find the next week after shows, we'd get a couple of sales, but it'd be a little bit from that, pretty much. That's what we're using it for.
So, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people have said, and a lot of things I've read in kind of desperation during this time, is people saying that actually when you're in these really challenging times are when often founders and businesses get most creative and become most successful. And I think that's been true for us, definitely. We had our best ever month for Maya Master in April. And we sold, you know, a large number of products through our e-commerce site. It's enabled us to mobilize and focus on e-commerce and strip everything else away, back to that point around focus, because there's literally nothing else going on. All we do is focus on our e-com presence, you know, our social media, building our online community, and having that discipline and time to just think about solely that has been enormous for the business. We're now a genuinely a successful e-com platform, and then we just never thought we would get there.
And from that, it meant we had to take a risk, because ultimately what we were doing was working. Like, we were doing shows and we knew it was good revenue. We were going into gyms. We knew there was a market. And our e-commerce took a back seat because we didn't need to take a risk. We didn't have to go after that because this was working so well. Whereas we had to take a risk. We had to put money into actually advertising. We had to spend money on our website and actually improving all the pages and spend a load
customer
of time.
Journey, yeah.
Customer journey. And actually it's paid off hugely. So we wouldn't have taken that risk without COVID-19 and the lockdown.
Forcing us to do it.
And it's a risk that's really paid off for us.
And just one other point for kind of startup founders out there would say is that, like, I think there's a bit of a myth at the moment that, like, people aren't spending money. And although this is a really challenging time for a lot of people, there are people out there who are saving huge amounts of money because they're not going out, they're not traveling, they have more disposable income than ever before. So if you're running an e-commerce business, I would definitely say, like, don't be afraid, you know, or a product business. Don't be afraid to promote, to advertise, because there are people out there who are buying and who are spending money.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, people go online and they see things and they buy it, and they would never have done that before because, like you say, they've got more disposable income. And obviously this success and this boost has been amazing. Have you seen a spike in certain products? Have certain products been selling more than others? Has one just like shot off the scale?
Yeah, so for us, our Myo Pro, which is our handheld massager, we spoke about the professional grade one that's really quiet, has flown. And as like you said earlier, it's sort of having a moment, the massage gun. And I think it's flown because ultimately people are getting into their sport again. So people are running more, they're cycling more than ever because they've got time to do it. People who have always loved doing it are doing it more than ever. And ultimately they can't go out to see their physio, they can't go out to see their masseuse, they can't go and have a sports massage. And that's what our product perfectly does. It's home treatment that's really easy to do, really specific to the areas you're having stiffness or pain in. And that's absolutely flown. Our other products, as we've said, our occlusion cuff has started to take off now. Our leg pumps are taking off again because people want to recover quicker to do more training. But the massage gun, our Myo Pro, has really shot off.
Yeah, that has been our most popular product, which is brilliant. But also, again, as a founder, is nerve-wracking because you're like, you want to, how do
our
you then balance
was
across your product portfolio? You know,
our whole
for
thing
every
was
success,
not to be
there's
a one
always
product business, wasn't
yeah,
it? That's
exactly
our whole thing. So
for every success, there's always a challenge, right? It's just like startup life, I think.
Definitely. And again, you have kind of mentioned this, but how are you kind of managing to keep up with that the production and the demand of these products?
Yeah, it has been tough. I mean, the whole business started with our initial manufacturing of me translating English into Chinese, emailing in the middle of the night to Chinese factories and getting feedback and all this stuff. And obviously, from it starting in China, they all locked down. And luckily, we got some stock just before that. And then we were selling that stock really well. And then obviously, we went into lockdown. They all started work again. So it's actually worked okay because we managed to get that order in just before. But as Lottie said, we did have a delay on actually the products were finished. They were on their way. It was just getting them into the country through customs because there's such a backlog.
Also, I think there's been a lot of upskilling of the team. Like, you know, we weren't an e-commerce business. And there's, you know, that I think a lot of people think that it's pretty easy to run an e-com business because the barriers to entry are quite low. But like, actually, there's so much that is involved in running a business like that, and certainly promoting it, and, you know, PPC and SEO and social media ads and optimizing your pages and customer service and tracking goods. Like, there's so much that actually we've had to spend a lot of time up late doing online courses trying to figure out, you know, what does that mean, like, and how do we do that?
Well, it's a classic, we wear like 12 hats being a startup, so we do everything,
of course. And Joe, how have you found it being like a furloughed professional rugby player making a business now out of recovery? And on the flip side, Lottie, are you still working? Have you been furloughed? How have you guys found this time?
Yes, I love rugby, it's my passion, it's what I've always wanted to do, and I absolutely love it. But it's been amazing actually having a bit of a break because they're quite ruthless seasons. You carry on weekend to weekend, you get a month off in the summer, then you're back into it. And as I said, I'm starting my 15th season at the end of the summer, and it's actually been lovely to have some time to spend with the family. So Otis, our son, is 7.5 months. Within 2 days, I was back playing rugby, back in training, because that's how it happens. That's what you've got to do at rugby. So it's been amazing to actually have the last 5 weeks at home with him, see so much of family, and actually spend a big chunk of time on the business to help, as well as doing other bits around. But it's been awesome. I've loved it. You're still working, aren't you?
I'm still working on my other job. So yeah, it's been an intense time. But I think I was chatting with another founder about this the other day, and we were saying that, like, although it's definitely exhausting running your own business, it never feels as exhausting as it does when you're working for someone else. Like, it's because you enjoy it so much, because it's your passion, and because you get to do it within your own framework of you know, when do you want to work and within what time frame, whatever suits you. I think it always feels less exhausting than it would be if you were working this much for somebody else. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
So it's tough, no doubt about it, but it's brilliant. It's been a great 6 weeks.
It's amazing. It's amazing to hear your story. And in terms of the future, what has MyoMaster got planned? And did you kind of have like a 5-year plan that then got kind of turned on its head with this whole coronavirus? And obviously it's kind of pivoted, like you said, you guys in a really good direction. But yeah, what does the future hold for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, our vision definitely hasn't changed since day one. The route to getting there is different. So, you know, ultimately, we want to help make recovery the third dimension. Like I said earlier, with the piece around nutrition and training, we want everybody who works out to spend some time investing in their recovery. And we want to give them the tools and knowledge that they need to do that.
Yeah, a huge part of that is the education. So we want to get to a point where you're running the London Marathon, and in 5 years' time, you go, how do I recover from the London Marathon? And it comes up with MyoMaster tips on
recovery,
how you do
plan,
that,
yeah,
and a recovery plan and what you can implement into your daily routine. Nothing to do with our products, but actually an education piece. And if you want to increase that recovery, you can come and buy our products off us, obviously.
So. Yeah, so I think that vision around, you know, being in every home of someone who works out, being at the end of every race after people work out, and being in every gym to support recovery in the gym space definitely hasn't changed, and the education and knowledge piece. But yeah, how we get there has altered a little bit. So more e-com at the moment, less kind of through gyms and races, but we're sure that that will all come back to the table, you know, once this pandemic has eased.
And what's a positive we're taking out of this is obviously all the time we've been able to spend on the e-commerce means that at the end of this pandemic, when we come out and we go back to what we know works at the shows, within the gyms, within B2B, actually we're going to be in a much stronger position as a company than we were coming into this, which we never thought at that beginning when we're like, what are we going to do? All our shows have closed. Whereas actually it will have been a blessing come the end of it that we've had time to implement all this stuff, because we'll be in a much stronger position when we come out at the other end. So that's an amazing thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Definitely. And finally, I feel like you've given loads of advice all the way through, but do you have any final words or advice for other founders out there?
Yeah, my one, Lottie touched on it, but don't be afraid to just go for it. We had loads of ideas in the past, and actually when it got to our original MyoMaster massager, we were really unsure, like, does it look nice enough? Oh, will people like it? And as soon as we got out to shows, our store was rammed. It was the most basic store you've ever seen, with a black sheet on the back.
I was actually on a stool ironing the back sheet with our iron plugged in as the customers were walking.
And it was our biggest outgoing we'd ever spent to get a stall. It cost us a bomb. And we went, and within the first few hours, we'd made our money back on the stall. It was absolutely going mental around us with a really ugly looking massager that we'd made. That
we
was so loud.
We actually couldn't believe people were buying it.
No, we couldn't believe it, because we were so nervous. We'd like, have we messed up here? And actually it was just taking the risk and going for it. And the feedback was incredible. Everyone loved it. Even now they still send us messages and videos of the really old original massager that they still love. They use it all the time, and it's been amazing. So don't be afraid to just give it a go. Like, we were nervous whether to do it, and it was the best decision we've ever made in terms of MyoMaster. So
yeah, I mean, that you've stolen my big piece of advice there. I think the only other thing I would say is try to enjoy the ride. And like, this is almost a reminder to myself and Joe as much as anything else, but like, I think so often as founders we're spending time chasing like the big number or the big goal or whatever your next thing is, or the big investment or whatever, but actually, like, part of the beauty of it is building the business and being sat on the floor packaging products, or like being up late learning about social ads, whatever it is. But I think just like trying to enjoy everything that you're doing, because it's an amazing journey and it's wicked to be able to do your own thing and, you know, have your own vision and try to make that a reality. So yeah.
Well guys, it's been an absolute pleasure learning about your journey and speaking to you today. It's been an amazing interview, so thank you so much for your time and being on this podcast.
Thanks for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Serial Entrepreneur.